Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response of a day for the 7th of Adar. Today we're going to learn from Rav Chaim David Halevi on how we can or cannot critique a teacher of ours. This is Rishut Asei Lecha Rav, the first volume, the 72nd response of Ayin Bet. The question was, he got a letter, so Rav Chaim David Halevi doesn't date his own response. He always often starts his letters by saying, I got your letter of such and such date, but doesn't, in the book at least, or as it is on my Bar Ilan, does not give the date that he's writing the response. But I like learning from him, so every so often I'll take yes. So this is the 7th of Adar, which he doesn't mention, but is traditionally the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, so people don't say, Tachlin on such a day, and it's a day. So let's learn from Rav Chaim David Halevi about how we treat our teachers. So the person who's writing the letter to him, I think it's a man, says that he was in a conference, right, a Yom Yun, a day of learning for people who run dormitories. In Israel especially, many of the schools are dorm schools. Many of the high schools even are you live in a dorm. So when you live in a dorm, when you have kids in a dorm, you have to take care of them in the dorm as well. So they had a conference, a day, Yom Yun. So in that conference, somebody had given the opinion that you need to give the kids a framework, in the framework of the dormitory, meaning for most kids, if they went home to their parents, they would have this opportunity, basically what this guy was saying, they should have with the madrichim there, the counselors, so like the resident advisors, right? So when you have a dorm, you have somebody who has to watch over the kids because they're kids, right? So you should have in that framework the possibility for them to have a session to talk about a teacher or a worker in the dormitory, you know, a cook or a janitor or whatever. They should have some kind of a framework in which they could air their thoughts and grievances, right? And that would be similar to when we have them learn critical thinking, you know, by talking about whether or not that was a good activity or talking about whether a book was a good book. And the person who was promoting this said that in a family, if a kid has a problem with a teacher, they go to their parents. And everybody says, yeah, they should go to their parents. So for the dormitory kids, this dorm and these counselors and these advisors are in some sense in loco parentis. They're in some sense substitutes for the parents, and therefore they should have that opportunity as well. And then you can have a conversation about the teacher and how the teacher acts or doesn't act, or what he does right and what he doesn't do right, or she. So that's what this person had claimed. So the one option was that you should have the opportunity in a dorm just like you'd have it at home. And the man writing the letter to Rav Chaim David Halevi, the person writing the letter to Rav Chaim David Halevi, said it's important to stress and emphasize that these dorms have boys and girls, not in the same dorms, but they're boys and girls who are adults halakhically, meaning they're over bar and bat mitzvah, and therefore halakhically they're like adults. So it's not like you can say, well, we can allow them to do it because even if they violate the Torah in some way, we'll get to the violating the Torah in some way in a second, but even if they do, you'd say, oh, but they're under the age of kinuch. So whether or not that would be true, and that's not going to be dealt with, these are not those kinds of kids. These dorms, but you can have that question, let's say, about a camp. If you had a summer camp, let's say, where people went to sleepaway camp when they were 8, 9, and 10, you could ask the same question and say, and of course, since they're children, does that change it? But in this case, the dorms that are in question are high school dorms, and therefore, they're all over. All the students are above the age of bar and bat mitzvah, and therefore. So the person writing the letter to Rev, the man writing the letter, I'm pretty sure it's a man, writing letter, because it's bikesh kvodoladat. In Hebrew, it's a male, it's a masculine verb form of the noun. He wants to know, what's the halakhic view of this? If you're going to tell me that it's okay, let's say, or not okay, is there any difference between somebody who's a Torah teacher, to another teacher, to a counselor in the dorm? Meaning, you could have argued theoretically, you owe a Torah teacher the respect of a Torah scholar, or you might even say you owe any teacher the respect of somebody who teaches you, whereas a madrich, an advisor, a counselor, somebody who's just there to make sure that the kids in the dorm don't kill themselves, and to be there to lend an ear if they have problems they want to discuss, you might have thought that only engenders a lower level of kavod, of honor, and therefore maybe you would be allowed to do that. So that's the question. Are there any differences among these other people? And you could have the medical staff there at the nurse. There's a nurse on staff, right? So could she be different or he be different? That's the question. So Rav Chaim David Halevi answers. He says, at first, I want to say, and he says, I want to say this bitsa'ar, with distress, that the fact that somebody raised this as a good possibility is a good idea. So we already know he doesn't think it's a good idea. But the fact that somebody raised it as a good idea, as reasonable advice, so that shows how much we have forgotten the problem of the prohibition of Lashon Hara, which is a very serious prohibition. So he's going to now teach us a little bit about the prohibition of Lashon Hara, of speaking bad, ill of other people. And he's saying, and the very fact that you can ask that question shows the person not only asked the question, that the other person had this idea that that was a good idea of how to handle a dorm situation, shows how little people understand and remember about the prohibition of Lashon Hara. Because it's very clear that when you raise a certain teacher, right, let's talk about Mr. Johnson. So clearly, anybody who has criticisms to make of Mr. Johnson is going to say them. And then the people will disagree, right? Some people will say, you're right. Some people will say, you're wrong, and they'll argue about it. And so some people are going to be taking down Mr. Johnson. Some people are going to be trying to praise him. And he says, and nobody's right, and everybody's doing the wrong thing. Why is that? Because the ones who shake him down, who say bad things about him, they're violating the Lashon Hara, right? It is not allowed. This is a point that he's making and that he's saying that we don't always remember, so maybe I should try to stress it. We're not allowed to speak ill of other people even if it's true, right? Motzi Shemra is if it's not true. But even if it's true, so-and-so is an annoying person, right? I'm not allowed to say that about people. People don't know it. I'm not allowed to make that, I'm not allowed to share that negative information. So-and-so is annoying because they, who knows what, right? They have a nasally voice and I hate the way it sounds in class and I don't want to hear it. Kind of living saying that's Lashon Hara. You can't tell Lashon Hara. But he says it's not only them who have a problem, because the ones who are defending Mr. Johnson in our case are also have a problem, because there's something called Avak Lashon Hara. Now, Avak Lashon Hara, which literally means the dust of Lashon Hara, are things that Chazal prohibited because they are either like Lashon Hara, they're either like speaking ill of them, or they lead to speaking ill of them. So the Gemara in Erech and Tzayin Aban Olam says, according to one verse of it, is Olam al yisaper adam betovato shel chavero shemitok tovato balidei ra'ato. You shouldn't speak good. You shouldn't say praiseworthy things about another person, because from the good you come to the bad. That's the way the Gemara says it. The question is, what does that mean? We're going to have two options. Rashi there says kishem misaper betovato yoter midai. You shouldn't, Rashi understands it to mean, it's not you can't say, ever say anything good about somebody, you can't go on and on about it. Because if you go on excessively about how good you think of them as being, you'll end up saying, well, except for this quality that he has, or that quality that he has, or if not you, other people will hear it and will say, they'll say, how could you be saying so many good things about him? Doesn't he also have this and this quality that's a negative quality? So the Avak Lashon Hara in this situation is, according to Rashi, is that by saying too many good things, you stimulate others or yourself to say bad things. So that's the Avak Lashon Hara. So that would mean it's fine to say an occasional good thing about somebody, but to sit down to really praise them fulsomely, right? To go try to get all of the good stuff about them, that would be a problem, because it can lead to either that person themselves or others bringing up negative things. And that's, Rav says, Rav Chaim David Alevi, all the more true if you have what's called a diyun, right? You sit down to try to make to have a real discussion. Let's talk about Mr. Johnson as a teacher. How do we rate Mr. Johnson, right? So if he gets 100 from everybody, so you'll have avoided any Lashon Hara issues. But let's say he gets an 88. Now, an 88 is a B+. It's not a terrible grade. But to get an 88, somebody's going to have to say good stuff, somebody's going to say bad stuff. Let's say the people who think he really should get a 99 are the ones who speak up first. They think they're doing nothing wrong, but in the end, they really are doing something wrong, because to get to the 88, that means that from the 99 they spoke about, somebody else is going to have to give him a 77 or whatever, and that stuff is going to be the negative stuff, and we're not supposed to be doing that. We'll get to how one can or cannot speak ill of others when it's necessary later in the responsive. So don't, I mean, if you shut off now, and I hope you don't, but if you shut off now, don't think you've gotten the whole story. But to the extent that you're going to lead to others speaking ill of them, you're not allowed to do that, right? Especially, says Rav Chaim David Alevi, when you have a diyun, right, you have a forum about it, so people get attached to their perspective. Right, that's what people are. So they come up with an idea, and then they try to stick to it. So if you try to show them the other perspective, so let's say the people who started out with a negative, so shouldn't be speaking up at a public forum, and we'll talk about when you are maybe allowed to speak negatively to somebody, but in public forums, you can't just speak negatively, so there's no value to speaking negatively to somebody, he's saying, Rav Chaim David Alevi. So they speak negatively. So I come in and I say, oh, but you missed it because he's got all these good qualities that you're not paying attention to. And so therefore, his grade, as it were, should go up. Well, the people who spoke about him negatively and the people who spoke about him positively tend to stick strongly to their perspectives, their point of view. And if that's true, then if you show me something good about Mr. Johnson and I'm in the camp that says, oh, he's no good, I'm going to try to bring up the more negative things to prove that I was right, and then I'm going to spread even more Lashon Hara about Mr. Johnson. And Rav Chaim Lebovitz says, how could you, what more bad could there be? Right? It's terrible. So you can't do it. That's Rashi's view. When the Rambam paskins this same Gemara, he has a slightly different phrasing of it, which gives a slightly different shading of it. He wrote, "Sheish kap mikach mishum avok lashon hara." It's like lashon hara. Chaim Levi puts in parentheses. The truth is, if you read the sugya carefully, if you read the sugya quickly or open or in its most literal way, it sounds like the word there thinks it's actual lashon hara, not avak lashon hara. But he says, "I'm writing you quickly because I want to get the answer out, and therefore we'll have to talk about that part of it another time, God willing." So he says, but the Rambam adds that this prohibition is bifnei sonav. Right? Rashi thought it was from the excessive praise that one leads to the eventual lashon hara to sort of counteract it. And there, that could be even a person who generally likes the person. They say, you know, he's so great, he's so this, he's so that. He teaches clearly. He makes funny jokes. He cares about the students. And you hear yourself talking, or other people hear you talking who don't particularly dislike Mr. Johnson. They just get, you know, when you hear too much good about somebody, you think, oh, that can't be all that's true of him. There's also this. And that's the problem. The Rambam doesn't mention the Yoter Midai issue. The Rambam mentions Bifnei Sonav, that you do it in front of people who dislike him. Well, Sonav really means something stronger than that, but let's leave it at dislike, because it's not nice to have to think about the idea that there are people out there who hate each other. So dislike him. So he says the Rambam is clear that the whole idea is that the reason that it's wrong or problematic to speak well of somebody is that you're going to stimulate other people to speak negatively. So Rashi thought that it was the excessive speaking well that would lead to the negative. The Rambam seems to think that it's the speaking in front of Sonav. The Rambam and Rav Chaim Lebovitz throws in, clearly the Rambam doesn't think that you can't praise people in general. Right? It's hard to imagine Rashi could think that. Why? So he gives examples. First off, we have sources that have people praising other people, where there's a series of Mishnayot in the second chapter of Avot, where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has five students, and he speaks about their praise. He gives a characteristic of each one of them that was praiseworthy. So Rav Chaim Lebovitz says he wasn't going to violate Isul Avak Lashon Hara. So there's a couple of ways you get around that. One is you could say, this is the time of the Mishnah, and the Gemara and Erechim at the time of the Gemara. You could say that wasn't until later. Possibility. But Rav Chaim Lebovitz, the answer is no. The Rambam would tell you that it's because Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai wasn't doing it in front of people who hated him. So therefore, there was no problem of Avak Lashon Hara. And Rashi could easily say, because he didn't do it excessively. He picked one characteristic that was their central good characteristic. He spoke about that, and that's not excessively. In addition, to prove that the Rambam doesn't have a problem with praising people in general, the Rambam had written earlier, in the fifth chapter of Hilchot Deot, of the Laws of Character, in the seventh paragraph, he said that the ways of Talmidei Chachamim is misaper b'shvach chavero, that they praise other people, right? So it's a characteristic, meaning Talmidei Chachamim don't look negatively at other people. They try to find the good, and they see the good, and they praise people for that which is good in them. So clearly, there's nothing wrong with praising people. So that can't be the law of Lashon Hara for the Rambam. And therefore, he wrote and he added that it was b'fnei sonav. So Rashi thinks too much, and Rambam thinks in front of people just like him, and the Rav Chaim Dovid Halevi thinks that the Rif held like Rashi, because when the Rif has it in his book, and let's remember the Rif is, if you talk about Chafasi, he lived before Rashi and before the Rambam, and his work was revolutionary at the time when he basically, not completely, but basically took the Gemara and rewrote it, leaving out any of the stuff that wasn't bottom line halakha. And he included all of halakha, and then he has some discussions of some issues that come up. But that's the way the book reads. So that's why it's ordered by the Gemara, meaning you pick up a riff, it feels like, or it looks like, you're picking up a volume of Gemara, and it's laid out on the page and the printers like a volume of Gemara. It's just that there's a lot less Gemara to it, because he's excised that which is not halakha lama'aseh. Therefore, he includes, now, Erechin is a tractate that's about when people decide to donate money to the Beit HaMikdash in certain ways and in certain amounts. So there is no riff on Erechin, because I'm pretty sure, because most of Erechin is not halakha lama'aseh, so he didn't write a riff on it. So these laws, however, he put into the second chapter of Masechet Shabbat. One of the things one can do with the riff is find where he has topics like this and see what he chose to codify and what he didn't choose to codify and where he chose to put it. So the laws of Lashon Hara he puts into the second chapter of Shabbat, and there he seems to have it like Rashi. So in any case, either way, right, you have two options, but either way, if you have a diyun, if you have like an official forum to discuss somebody, so that's going to be a problem for either one, even on the praise side. I mean, you have people sitting around in a circle, they say, okay, it's time to talk about Mr. Johnson. You know, this topic has been raised, right? Let's say there's a kid who's failing Mr. Johnson's class, and therefore he says, I think we need to have a discussion of Mr. Johnson. Or, another way is, the people of the dorm just want to keep sort of track of the student's mental health, which is itself a good and valuable goal, and they think, let's just review what everything's going on. We want to make sure there are no problems. So they say, okay, let's review. First, we'll talk about Rabbi, you know, so-and-so, Rabbi Reuven, and then Mr. Johnson, the math teacher, and then Ms. Kelly, the nurse, and whoever. And they go one by one, and who do those people think have things to say? So Rav Chaim Zalman Levi says, in any of those scenarios, you're going to have a problem with your Yoter Midai, because somebody's going to talk up and they're going to say a lot of stuff. They're going to say the good stuff because they're going to want, and they're going to get into the argument about it. And the argument, they're going to add more good stuff. You say next stuff, I say good stuff. Right? You say, this person made you uncomfortable when he did X and Y and Z. And I say, it was fine, it was comfortable. So that all leads to Avak Lashon Hara. And also, since it's pretty clear that it's a forum where there's going to be some people who see it as see this person in negative ways, then speaking up for the positive is bifnei sonav. So either way, you have a problem. And then he says that all of this is only said in private conversations. All these halachot that we're talking about now, all these ideas, is like when two people are talking. But to do this in front of everybody, so that's a problem. That's a big issue. We don't have public conversations about people, is what Chaim Zalman Levi is saying. And that is why in the Gemara you have a discussion between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon, his son, when they were talking about Yehuda Chaita, and Rebbe Shimon, the son of Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, was talking positively about this Rebbe Yehuda Chaita, and Rebbe Yehuda Nasi quieted him down, shut him up, he said, because it was in public. He said, you shouldn't tell the Shevach of somebody else b'fnei Rabbim in front of a lot of people. That's Gemara of Bavatra and Kuf Samachal and Amid Bet. It's a Rambam, and you shouldn't do it. Right? Yes. And the Rambam said b'toche hamon. The Rambam says that the problem was it's not in halacha. It's in his commentary on Pirkei Avot. He said he praised him in front of the masses, and I think it's in front of the masses a problem because that's where you worry that somebody there will say no, but I know negative things about him. Rabbeinu Yonah did allow, says kind of Levin Shari Tshuva, to praise somebody who's already well known to be a good person. Somebody who the masses have already decided is a good person and acts well and does things like that. Nobody knows anything bad about him. So that kind of a person, Rabbeinu Yonah thought you were allowed to praise in public, because even if somebody in the group wanted to say, oh, you don't know, he's this, everybody else would know that it was a lie. So that raises all sorts of interesting questions of whether that's true or not. Do we trust people around today that if there's somebody whose reputation is basically spotless, that we would allow and trust that people will not speak up against them, and therefore we would say that you're allowed to speak positively about such a person? It's unclear to me, but that's where Rabbi Yonah has it in his time. And so now, Chaim David Levi returns to our topic. So if Chazal were so worried about praising somebody, right, because that might lead to speaking negatively of them, then all the more so to sit down and to say, now's the forum, and feel free to talk openly and honestly about what you think about this person. Right? That's the way you would phrase it. So that's obviously prohibited, me'ikar hadin, according to Rav Chaim Zalman Levi. And that is true of a friend, right? But when it comes to a teacher, it's even more problematic. It's seven times as problematic, because you have a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kufter Amud Aleph, and then it's in Hilchos Talmud Torah and the Rambam, and it's in the Shulchan Aruch, that if Kol HaMitra'im Al Rabo, that anybody who protests and complains about his Rebbe, his teacher, K'mitra'im Al HaShchina, it's like having a problem with the divine presence. And everybody who thinks about his teacher in negative ways and thinks about his actions and thinks they must be negative actions, is also, again, as if you're doing the same thing to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the pasuk, the proof text is, the people spoke out in whatever situation, they spoke about against Hashem and against Moshe. This is in Parshat Kukat. It was the precipitating incident to the snakes coming to bite the people, where Moshe makes an achash nechoshet. He makes a bronze snake and he puts it up on a post, and the people look up at it, and those who look up at it get healed. And that's one of the incidents where we say, did the snake heal? And we say, no, it's that when they looked up, they prayed to Hashem. So that's the incident of Ayyadabir HaAmelech, Be'elokiv Moshe. But the Gemara derives from that, aside from the actual incident, points out that the Pasuk links Hashem to Moshe and is telling us that when we have a Rebbe, we have a teacher, then it has an element of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to it. Again, we're going to get to the question of proper protest or proper complaining in a second, and we'll get to it. But Rav Chaim Dov Halevi says, and it's different, meaning the person said, and this is no different than if you have a book you want to talk about, if you have some activity you want to talk about. Let's say, you know, you all go on a hike together. And in the hike, we walk 12 miles, total, and we swam a little bit, and we had lunch. And then we come back, and the counselors say to the group, what'd you like about the activity? What didn't you like about the activity? Or we read a book as a group, and they say, let's talk about the book. So there, Rav Chaim Dov says, it's not the same thing, because there the issue is the ideas that were expressed there, not about the author himself. And he implies, therefore, that if you want to talk about the author himself, that would be a problem. And therefore, if there's a critique, the critique is about the ideas or the thoughts, and that never was prohibited, right? And that's true with your Rebbe as well. Let's say your Rebbe paskins a certain way, rules in halakhically a certain way, and you grow to the point that you are also a qualified Torah scholar. He gives you smicha, right? He tells you you're qualified Torah scholar, and you learn a long time, and then he goes away for whatever reason. He's not around to ask him the question, and you're reviewing it, and you say, I don't understand, right? And it seems to be this and this and this. Right, so that's allowed to critique the Rebbe's ideas. It's allowed to say, I think I don't understand the Rebbe's ideas, and I wouldn't paskin that way, as long as you have proofs and you can show from within the text that it is. And so that's Rama who makes that very clear. So therefore, when it comes to substantive ideas, then you don't have the idea of Lashon Hara, because you're not speaking, again, you're not saying the Rebbe's a bad person. You're not saying, you know, the Rebbe doesn't know Torah. The Rebbe, he's just saying he learned it his way. As I learn it, this is what I see, and I'm also a qualified person. So that comes up all the time. Therefore, if the students have a problem with the way that the teacher teaches, or with the way the teacher prepares, the way the teacher presents it, all those kinds of things, or his or her conduct towards them, right? You have teachers who have all sorts of, right, there's all sorts of ranges of how teachers treat students. There's some teachers who treat students with the utmost respect. There's some teachers who have a very familiar relationship, which includes some teasing. And there's some teachers who border on the abusive, or maybe actually be abusive verbally, and maybe even worse physically. I'm not even sure that's worse, but maybe physically. So that kind of issue, if a student has a problem with a teacher like that, or with a madrich, or with a nurse, or with whatever it is, right, or a caretaker of some sort. So Rav Chaim Dov Halevi's idea is you should invite the accused person to a discussion so that people can present their concerns in front of that person, since all they mean is for the good. Now, we're going to get to what I think of as a better idea in a second, but his feeling is, let's say, you know, I'm going, and, you know, and this is the question is whether this is really true and really works, right? I'm in a class, I'm in ninth grader, and I have the teacher being unfair to me. He's, you know, picking on me or calling on me more than the other kids, and then, you know, lacing into me, and I don't know the answer more than the other kids, and I have a problem. So one option was to say, and we'll get to this option, is you say, well, you have the right to air your grievances with somebody so they can help you. We'll get there. But his first idea of kind of ladies is, if everyone wants to have a diyun, what they really should do is they should think of what they really want to say to this person, invite him down or her down, and then present to him. And I have to say that reading that, I would just wonder whether that is how easy it is to create a sense of safety for the students involved to feel safe that the teacher won't, or whoever, won't take reprisals against them, won't take it badly, and therefore there'll be consequences. Meaning, I'll say this, many years ago, I was in whatever class, and I want to leave the details out, I was in some class, and I got an A-, and I went to the teacher afterwards, and I said, you know, because it was in a context where I was clearly supposed to get an A, supposed to work hard enough, and I thought I had get an A, and I didn't. I said, was that sending me a message? He says, yeah, I had a problem with this or this or this, and it didn't make any sense to me. And I was talking to another teacher of mine, and I mentioned this incident, and he says, well, did you ever critique him in class? I said, well, you know, he raised issues, and I thought they weren't correct. I thought it was about the ideas totally, right? I thought it was about the ideas. I thought they weren't correct, so I offered my perspective, and this teacher of mine, not the one who gave me the grade, says to me, that's not the way it works in certain contexts. You can't argue with the teacher. They don't take it well. So if that's true of ideas sometimes, and I think it is unfortunately true of ideas sometimes, and therefore you have to be careful about that, it's all the more so true. You call a teacher in and say, listen, I don't like the fact that you, whatever, you say it as respectfully as you want, so we're going to react badly. So that's I understand his point is, you're not a tzolosh hara, and I get that. But I think I personally, as I read this tshuva, I think you have to think carefully about that. And then he says, but for sure, you can't say anything about their personality. That's the diyun. They have a personality discussion about a Jewish person. You're not allowed to do it. It's lashon hara. So hold that thought, because we're going to get to it. Because again, you think about, well, I don't like how they're teaching me, treating me. I don't like how they prepare for this year. But some of that stuff gets into personality issues, right? If I don't like how they present stuff, you could say, well, I don't like how you present it because of your personality. So that's the thing. And he's sort of saying, I think he means that you can't do it outside their presence, because that's just like critiquing a person. So if somebody's, you know, a boring person, you can't walk around saying so-and-so's boring because it's lashon hara, because, you know, whatever. And you can't tell them they're boring because they're boring, right? You can't do that. You have to find ways to be more substantive about it. I would like more stories told in class. I need more of an entertaining kind of whatever. So those are the kinds of things. Therefore, he says you can't have this kind of, these called the yun idea is a big problem. And then, right, so then he says, now the counterexample was, well, let's say this kid was living at home. What would they do? They come back, they go to their parents, and then the parents can contact the teacher and have a discussion about that, right? The parents with the kid will have a full discussion with the teacher, and the kid will have the freedom and the opening to talk about the things that are problem. So the Gentle Lady says that that's because the kid, the child, wants the parents to protect him clapay the teacher, right, towards the teacher. The teacher is doing something the kid has a problem with. The kid doesn't feel comfortable or safe bringing it up, him or herself, and therefore the parents can go and can try to sort of mediate between them. So that, says Rav Chaim David Halevi, is clearly permissible, and that would be permissible within the pnimiya as well, within the dormitory as well, that a student, if he thinks he's not being treated well, or if he thinks he's got a problem, so then, and this is where it becomes much more, I think, techlitic, meaning I think that inviting a teacher to hear the results of a forum, I can't see how that goes well, because the teacher would feel defensive and attacked and whatever. But when it's one teacher and one student and there's parents who are trying to serve as mediators or as an intervening force, then the whole idea is, then already it's not lashon hara anymore, because lashon hara is speaking bad about a person. Here it's picking out specific things or specific problems for specific purposes and trying to find constructive solutions. So it seems to me that Rav Chaim David Halevi says that's much more permissible and much more allowed. It's not really my place to throw things in, but I do want to say that he... You know, in this situation, I don't have any problem with what he's saying, but I do think there are situations where people do things. I think halakhically, there's where people do things, and they're known and publicly did those things, and people need to know that that's something we have to stand against or be opposed to and have a problem with and complain about. And there, I think the issues and how I become much more complex, because there the whole community needs to hear about it. Right? The Rambam, in the discussion where he says, you know, in some places where he says you should be praising good people, he also believes in speaking negatively of bad people. So it's not, so the bad people there, to get to be a bad person in that context, you have to first spoke to them quietly and privately and gently, trying to help them find a better way. Then you speak to them more harshly, privately and gently. But there comes a point where somebody qualifies in halacha as a public evildoer, and the attempts have been made to find them, to help them find their way to better conduct, and they're not conducting themselves better. So in those situations, not Rav Chaim David Halevi mentions it because it's not the situation here, but I think it's worth noting that in those situations it is permissible to speak negatively to people. It's also permissible to speak negatively to people if it's protecting somebody, right? If you're going to go into business with somebody who's a well-known cheater, or you're going to, you know, somebody's being set up to go out with somebody, a man or a woman is being set up with a man or a woman, each one the opposite gender, to go out, and they might get married. If you have negative information, you're supposed to share it to protect them. So there's all sorts of exceptions here. So what he's trying to point out here is that just the schmoozing in the dorm, right, the having a forum in the dorm to speak about so-and-so, that doesn't have any positive value to it. So if you want to say you want it to have positive value is going to help the students find their way to feel better about their teachers. There are ways to do that, but that's not in the context of a public forum where you just talk about a guy and you open the floor to whoever talk about whatever they want to talk about. I think the counter-argument could have been made that it's only when kids feel that kind of safety in numbers that they'll speak up. And if you say to the kids, if you have any problems, please come to me as your dorm counselor and I will do what I can to help you out. I think the argument could be made that people might not have as much comfort with that, therefore it might not happen. And then you get into a hard question, meaning I'm not disagreeing with Chaim David Levy that there's a serious Lashon Hara issue here, but you get into that question. So the people who were in favor of it could have argued, perhaps I wasn't there, but they could have argued, this is the only way to help the students feel safe in this way. But a public forum, as he said, he is against it. Not only that, he thinks if people know that, if they hear about this public forum and they hear that people are complaining about them, then it could have the backfiring reaction where the teacher could be angry and upset and will try to find out which kid said what. Right? You can easily imagine that, right? If you know that the dorm last night we had a schmooze session about Mr. Johnson. Ms. Johnson and Ms. Johnson, you should know, I spoke up well for you, of course, but some kids were saying that you're the worst math teacher they ever had, right, or the worst English teacher, whatever teacher you're a teacher of, the worst they ever had. They don't like the fact that you wear orange suit jackets. Mr. Johnson is going to be tempted to try to figure out who it is, and he's going to hold it against those kids if he ever finds out. So that's a problem. It also leads to zilzul kvod barim. It teaches people. It sort of ingrains in the students that they have the ability and the right to judge their teachers in those ways, as opposed to ingraining in them that they have the right to feel safe and to feel good and to want the best educational experience they can have. But you have to make sure that you help them see the different ways of seeing it, and therefore the people that didn't like this idea, says Chaim David Levy, were the right ones, and we can hope that we find a way to the proper fear, respect, awe of our teachers, along with good and positive and valuable educational experiences. And that is a responsive day for the 7th of Adar. Have a great day.